This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
I call the Senate Appropriations Committee to order. Good morning and welcome to another chilly day in Pierre, South Dakota. Those of you listening on the internet, we appreciate you being there. We have some bill hearings today. We're going to move through them here in just a moment. But first of all, it's glad to see a room full of appropriators ready to go to work for some bill hearings today. So, Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Nessebeth.
Aye.
White.
Here.
Sutton.
Here.
Partridge.
Here.
Maher.
Here.
Kolbeck.
Here.
Greenfield.
Here.
Cronin.
Here.
Wick.
Mostly here.
We have a quorum.
We have a quorum.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Maher.
I'd like at this time, is it possible to move the minutes of February 20th for approval?
February 20th, that was yesterday.
Yes.
So we have a motion to approve the minutes from February 20th, moved by Senator Maher, seconded by Senator Partridge. Any comments on that motion, Senator Maher?
No, thank you. They look
all
good.
Right. Minutes look good. All those in favor of passing the or approving the minutes from February 20th, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Minutes are approved. Are there any other motions or personal privileges right away this morning? If not, we have a couple of pages who are here working hard for us today. If you would step up to a microphone, pick a microphone, any microphone. Tell us who you are, where you're from, where you're going, if you know it, and how many kids in your high school class back home.
My name is Adam Foreman. I'm from Pierre TF Riggs. There's about 140 kids in my class. And next year I plan on going to MIT for astrophysics.
Whoa.
Michigan.
Yeah. Oh, it's in Massachusetts.
Oh, Massachusetts,
Massachusetts,
my bad. I wouldn't know. My name is Melody Boyu. I was lucky enough to be here yesterday morning. So I live in North Sioux City, and I plan on going to USD next year to study political science and Native American studies. And there's about 90 kids in my class, so.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair.
Senator White.
I think that young lady needs to be in politics when she said she was lucky enough to be here yesterday.
Exactly. That's why she's majoring in political science. Oh, yes. Senator Cronin, would you like to take over his chair so we can get over to the items up for today?
All right. We will move right into our bills in order. Proponents of Senate Bill 131. Are there any proponents?
Mr. Chair.
Senator.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 131 is a product of an ongoing discussion. As you know, all of you in this committee, we have been dealing with a lot of headlines this year with nursing homes that are closing. We have an industry that is not properly functioning, and we have more people getting older all the time in South Dakota, and we're trying to solve a very serious problem. And given that we're up against certain deadlines, Senate Bill 131 is a hollow shell of what hopefully will be a good plan. And I would very much like to keep the discussion alive so that when we find a number and we get agreement within this body, that we can start to solve the nursing home and community service providers' funding issues in the state of South Dakota. So I ask for your favorable consideration of Senate Bill 131.
Thank you, Senator. Any other proponents for Senate Bill 131? Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 131? Any opponents? Seeing none, I would waive rebuttal and ask for committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Partridge.
I would offer a motion for due pass.
do pass and Senate Bill 131.
Senate Bill 131. Thank you.
Senator Partridge, second by Senator Colbeck. Any discussion? Seeing none, the motion is do pass. All in favor say aye. All opposed, nay. Secretary, will you call the roll?
Nessaba.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Partridge.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Colbeck.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Cronin.
Aye.
Wick.
Aye.
We have 9 yeas. It's unanimous.
All right. Senate Bill 131 will go to the floor of the do-pass motion. Consent is out of order, my friend. Senate Bill 132. Is there any proponents for Senate Bill 132?
Mr. Chair.
Senator.
Good morning. My name is John Wick, Senator from District 4, representing Grant Roberts. No, I'm not representing Roberts County. I get my water from Grant Roberts Rural Water.
Well, that's wonderful.
That's great. I'm having a day, okay? I've not had my second one of those full of coffee yet, and I left it down there.
Well, you keep talking, you won't have it for a while.
There you go. I represent Grant, Dual, Rural Coddington, and Rural Brookings counties, and I'm here to talk about education with Senate Bill 132. Every year, we do our best to advance policies that will enhance education in South Dakota. There are continuing negotiations on some items, and this is an opportunity to keep that discussion alive, and I would very much appreciate your favorable consideration on Senate Bill 132.
Thank you, Senator. Any further proponents on Senate Bill 132? Any further proponents? Seeing none, is there any opponents to Senate Bill 132? Any opponents? Seeing none, I would move to committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Senator Partridge. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move a do-pass motion for Senate Bill 132.
Second.
Motion by Senator Partridge, do-pass on Senate Bill 132, seconded by Maher. Any comments? Seeing none, the motion is do pass. All in favor vote aye. All opposed, nay. Secretary, will you please call the roll?
Nessaba.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Partridge.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Colbeck.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Cronin.
Aye.
Wick.
Aye.
It's unanimous. 9 yeas.
Senate Bill 132 will go to the floor with a do pass motion. Nothing? No consent motions at all?
I got beat down last time.
Senate Bill 133. Is there proponents for Senate Bill 133? Senator.
Mr. Chair. Good morning.
You might
I'm
have
still
the best
Senator
record.
John Wick, and I'm still pretty sure I represent District 4.
You might have the best record so far this year on bills.
This is a very tough committee, and I will tell you, sitting on this end of the table is a lot more ominous than sitting on that end of the table. I am not going to lie to you at all. This is an intimidating room. I feel sorry for you guys. I really do. I'm here to talk about Senate Bill 133, accommodating legislation to lower the state sales and use tax. I wish nothing to take away from Senate Bill 86, which passed, and I think does a good job of moving this discussion. However, in the opportunity that discussions break down, I do want to keep an opportunity alive to make sure that this body keeps their promise to the taxpayers of South Dakota to make sure that should revenues arrive in lieu of the amendments to 2016's House Bill 1182, that we have an opportunity to return the money to the people of South Dakota through a rollback of the sales and use tax. Should this become necessary, I would very much like to keep this discussion alive.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 133?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to offer proponent testimony on Senate Bill 133.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There are a couple of different alternatives out there to the Partridge Amendment, and there was a Senate Bill 160 that the Senate taxation very foolishly killed yesterday, which was my bill, and which would lower the sales tax on food by one percentage point. And so I'm glad that this would be a possible vehicle for future use of that bill to amend Senate Bill 133 in that way as well to keep our options open. So I will be very much – I think we should definitely support this bill and keep our options open to keep our promises to the people, both about promises that were made about when we increased teacher salary and also the promises that were made years ago in the early 2000s when we did streamlining and we had to raise the sales tax on food, and that cities like Rapid City, which had no sales tax on food, had to go from 0 to 2%, and cities like Sioux Falls doubled their rate from 1% to 2%. And there were promises made then that someday, when we finally are able to use this streamlining to get remote sales tax, that we should be able to finally be able to see the benefits of that. So thank you.
I didn't see the bill that in depth, but I appreciate your comments.
Mr. Chair, the bill has so much potential.
And I agree. Any further proponent testimony? Is there any opponent testimony? Seeing none, is there any committee questions and or action? Senator Partridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would offer a do pass motion on Senate Bill 133.
Second. A motion by Senator Partridge, do pass on Senate Bill 133, second by Sutton. Any comments? Seeing none, the motion is do pass. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed, nay. Madam Secretary, will you please call the roll?
Nassapa?
Aye.
White?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Partridge?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Colbeck?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Cronin?
Aye.
Wick?
Aye.
It's unanimous. 9 yeas.
Senate Bill 133 will go to the floor with a do-pass motion. Senator Wick, would you carry all these bills?
Since I am the prime sponsor, I would be most happy to.
Well, I would like to assign them to you. Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you.
The chair has the chair.
Thank you, Mr. Vice. Let's continue down the line. We have Senate Bill 116. It was on today's agenda for possible action, and I understand that an amendment has been drawn up and prepared, and I would be interested for proponent testimony on Senate Bill 116. And yes, I will allow you to just sit there if you prefer. It's up to you.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'll wait until this amendment is distributed. We talked about an earlier version of this. Is
just for those listening on the internet, would you please identify yourself, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this is State Senator Rendell Nessaba from District 15, representing downtown in the north end of Sioux Falls, and this is a bill to fund needs-based scholarships in South Dakota, and what this amendment does is it says that it simply says that when we have money left over at the end of the year, as we're moving it into various buckets, that the first bucket we put it into is we make sure that we have a 10% reserve fund set aside. And the second thing it does is it moves $1 million that we also set aside into the Educational Enhancement Trust Fund. And then the next bucket is to fill the Budget Reserve Fund up to 15%. And you'll see here on page one, this is 116ZD on the amendment. It says that she'll transfer $1 into the Education Enhancement Trust Fund. And it does look like there's new language in Section 1. That's not new language. It's simply moved up from Section 2 to Section 1 where I think it belongs. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator. Any additional proponent testimony on Senate Bill 116 or on the amendment 116? It has been distributed. And do you wish to move the amendment at this time, Senator?
I would like to do that. So I would move 116ZD, Mr. Chair.
We have a motion to amend moved by Senator Nessaba, seconded by Senator Greenfield, to amend Senate Bill 116 with 116 Zulu Delta. Any additional comments on that motion to amend? Senator Cronin.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to support the amendment and probably support the bill. However, you know, we've always put money in this critical needs or needs-based trust fund on a one-time basis. And this doesn't necessarily do that. I like the fact that we can come back on one-time basis and do that. So I'm assuming we'll get another look at this. I'm positive we'll get another look or not in the House. But I'm okay sending this on, but I would like to see it come back to just a general fund appropriation, a special appropriation from the state, just because I don't want to obligate one-time monies out of the budget reserve for ongoing expenses, and I think that's what this does. But I do understand the need, and, you know, we have done well. I think our fund trust fund gives out about $290,000 in scholarships right now. Any more money we can put in there will be beneficial, but I think that needs to be on a one-time basis in a bill form. But I will support the amendment and then support the bill.
Thank you, Senator Cronin. Any additional proponent testimony on the amendment? Any additional comments on the amendment 116 Zulu Delta? Well, we have a motion and a second moved by Senator Nesiba, second by Senator Greenfield to amend Senate Bill 116 with 116 Zulu Delta. All those in favor of that amendment say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. The bill is so amended. Any additional comments on Senate Bill 116 as amended?
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, we're accepting public and or committee questions at this time. No action.
Okay. My question would be is it your intent then, I don't know if you can do this or not, but with state scholarship dollars, do those dollars have to go into the HEF fund?
Mr. Chair, that's a great question, and I don't know the answer to that. I don't think so, because we've been able to use these in the past out of the Education Enhancement Fund. This is how we've traditionally been funding our ongoing basis for needs-based scholarships. So this is just another way to set those funds aside for that particular basis. Those funds would support the student, and I'm trying to think if they ever end up being mixed in with HEF funds, and I think I'm going to have to defer to staff. But it's an excellent question, Senator Maher.
Mr. Melhoff knows the answer to that, and we'll just ask him. Mr. Melhoff, can you answer the good senator's question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The needs-based scholarships that are in this bill do not go to the HEF fund. They would go to the needs-based trust fund, and then the state would get a transfer from that trust fund, and then you would appropriate those needs-based scholarships in the General Appropriations Act.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Maher, follow up.
So when we're paying those tuition dollars off this needs-based scholarship, the tuition, even though a portion of that tuition cost has a HEF fund percentage in that tuition, so if a class is $300 per credit hour, needs-based scholarship is going to pay the $300 credit, and then a portion of that would go into the HEF fund. So that would go back to my question, then does, when we do that transfer, as long as it just goes to tuition, can we just make it go to tuition and not to the HEF fund? Do we have the ability to carve that out and stop that transfer? Or is it just one lump sum?
Mr. Melhoff, you know the answer to that question?
So if I understand correctly, that if the student gets $1,000 needs-based scholarship, and, you know, they can use that for tuition, they can use that for books. I mean, I really don't know exactly where that needs-based funding would go to. Would it go to tuition? Would it go to books? Would it go to housing? I'm not sure. But if it did go to tuition, 11.5% of that $1,000, in theory, would go back to the HEF fund then, yes.
And where I'm going with that is then, In turn, then that would go into a building that would eventually end up in a landfill.
Mr. Chair.
Senator White.
Just for clarification, Mr. Manoff, it doesn't direct that the money has to be paid for tuition, right?
There is nothing saying the needs-based scholarship has to be directly paid for,
okay,
for tuition.
Thank you.
Any additional public... Oh, Senator Sutton.
I just have a question, and I'm not sure who... If Nezeba or Jeff, if you can answer the question, is where do those funds historically go?
Which funds, Senator Sutton? Please clarify.
The needs-based and the history of it, where hand was your
microphone? Yeah, turn your microphone back on, please.
When you're stating that they don't, there's no provision that they go to books, that they go to tuition, normally what has been the history of it?
So if I remember correctly, I think the Board of Regents may have a policy on the needs-based scholarships and how that's awarded. I mean, I think, believe Dr. Behrens is in the room and he can maybe answer that question maybe better than I could on how the need-based scholarships get applied or how they're awarded.
Dr. Behrens, would you be interested in attempting to answer the questions today?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You'll need to turn the microphone on.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, CEO and Executive Director for the Board of Regents. Mr. Chair, if it's okay to... I'll be happy to answer any questions that I can answer. And if I don't know the exact answer, I will get back with you and get you the answer ASAP.
Sounds great. Senator Sutton?
I will repeat the question.
Yes, ma'am.
The question is on the needs-based historically, where have those funds been going? Do they normally go to tuition? Do they go to books? Where have they been going?
Well, they go... The needs-based scholarship follows the student, and the student uses them as they need based on their own set of needs. So it could go to tuition, it could go to books, it could go to materials they need for classes, it could go to any number of things that is approved for students to purchase for purposes of supporting themselves at the university.
Follow up.
And I'm just getting educated here, so.
So am I.
If my questions seem elementary, but so am I understanding? Do you give them a check? How is that? How do you keep track of that?
Sure, Mr. Chair.
Yes, please.
Generally, those kinds of no, the students don't get the money in hand. They get it through financial aid, and financial aid has a keeps an individual account for each student, and each student then those purchases are then applied against that so that it's monitored, and so that the students don't have any money in hand. They simply have the resources through financial aid to use those resources to get what they need. Up until the time they're expended.
Any additional questions of the committee on Senate Bill 116 as amended? Is there any public comments on Senate Bill 116 as amended? This is a pretty much complete hog house from the original bill, so I want to make sure anybody who has not had a chance to testify on this gets a chance. Senate Bill 116, any public comments on Senate Bill 116 as amended? And a potential opponent testimony to Senate Bill 116 as amended.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Derek Johnson, representing the Bureau of Finance and Management. Wanted to voice our opposition to this bill for a lot of the same reasons as the original bill, that currently taxpayer dollars are funding $6.5 million in merit-based scholarships in South Dakota. Also, as was mentioned briefly, unobligated funds are a one-time funding source, and This is an ongoing need, and so for those reasons, we would oppose this. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any additional opponents to Senate Bill 116 as amended? Any additional opponents to Senate Bill 116 as amended? Seeing no additional opponents, I would offer a brief rebuttal. Senator Nesiba.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. South Dakota does. Our main funding mechanism, as Mr. Johnson points out, is through the South Dakota Opportunity Scholarship. One of the problems with the South Dakota Opportunity Scholarship is many of the kids at our tech schools don't qualify. And so we are systematically underfunding those and not providing scholarship assistance. And as we heard in testimony when this bill first came up, South Dakota is providing $17 of needs-based scholarship for each Pell-eligible student. And if we increase that 100-fold, we'd be third in the region. We'd still be behind Wyoming and Minnesota. And so this is a desperate, unmet need, and I'm glad we can keep this conversation going, and I'd urge your support for this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Seeing no additional public comments, we will close public testimony on Senate Bill 116 as amended and move to committee discussion and or action on Senate Bill 116 as amended. Senator Cronin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move to pass on Senate Bill 116 as amended.
We have a motion from Senator Cronin, seconded by Senator Partridge, to do pass Senate Bill 116 as amended. Comments on that motion?
Real brief. The discussion today was pretty good. I would just point one thing out. When we talk about giving a student money, whether it goes to HEF funds, whether it goes to books, whether it goes to tuition, it's still a relief on that student. And that's the point of this. So I hope we all keep that in mind. It's a relief to the student. One way or the other, wherever it goes, that kid's going to have to pay the money anyhow. So I want us to keep focused on that as we move forward with this legislation. I do think there's going to be some changes to it. I think there should be some changes to it. But in this form, I think when we're coming up against deadlines, I'm comfortable sending this out. So I would ask the committee to support the motion.
Senator White.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to reaffirm that we understand that this is being deferred, has been reduced to $1. Is that correct?
That is correct. Taking a look, subsection 2 of your amendment, 116, Zulu Delta. If any obligated cash balance remains after the requirements of subdivision 1 are met, the Commissioner of the Bureau of Finance and Management shall transfer $1 into the Education Enhancement Trust Fund pursuant to, you can read also.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. So this is $1. This basically keeps this discussion alive and allows us to move forward with our discussions within our bodies and our caucuses. Senator Greenfield, any comments? I thought you were reaching for your microphone. Thank you very much. We have a do-pass motion for Senate Bill 116 as amended, moved by Senator Cronin, seconded by Senator Partridge. All those in favor of that motion will say aye. Opposed, say no. Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Nesiba.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Partridge.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Kolbeck.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Cronin.
Aye.
Wick.
Aye.
It's unanimous. 9 yeas.
With a positive vote of 9-0, Senate Bill 116 moves to the floor as amended. Senator Nesiba, do you have a title amendment?
I do, and I would like to move it at this time. That is...
Has it been distributed?
It has. It's on the back page of the page distributed, and this would be 116-ZTB.
Zulu Tango Bravo. That's 116 Zulu Tango Bravo. It's on the back page of the originally distributed amendment. Any comments on that motion?
It just makes the title reflective of the Hog House bill that we just passed, and I'd urge your support. Thank you.
All right. We have a motion by Senator Nessebar. Was there a second? Seconded by Senator White for the title amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. The title is so amended. We will be at ease for just a moment. I call Senate Appropriations Committee back to order. Thank you for your indulgence. We were working on an amendment for the upcoming remainder of our calendar here today that we thought was ready to go, but needed a little bit of polishing. That'll be with us in a moment. So, since the next two items are related, I will accept public testimony looking for proponents again on SCR 7, directing the Executive Board to create a 15-member task force to study and make legislative proposals regarding alternatives to imprisonment for those convicted of the crime of ingestion of controlled substances. Proponents for SCR 7. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Craig Kennedy, State Senator, District 18, Yankton. I appreciate your indulgence for allowing me to step out for a while to a committee I needed to attend to. But I'm bringing you today SCR 7. This is a proposal to create a task force to examine whether there may be a better way to deal with the offense of ingestion of a controlled substance than a felony conviction and prison incarceration. I am sure you've all heard the same testimony in various committees and on the floor that I've heard so far during the session about the cost that is incurred by treating this particular offense and other similar offenses as a felony. It's costly in terms of prison and corrections expenses. The prison jail cost estimate on this is roughly a potential savings of $50 million over 10 years if we were to change the offense of ingestion of a controlled substance from a felony to a misdemeanor, for example. It's also costly in terms of human lives. Secretary of Corrections has told us that a significant percentage of the women who are currently incarcerated in the women's prison are there for this offense. Because they're in prison, their children are many times in foster care. Once these people get out of prison, they come back into society with a felony record, which makes it harder for them to get jobs, to find places to live, to rebuild their lives. So we've got a significant situation at significant expense to the state. We've also got some programs that have been instituted, like drug court and Hope Probation, that have shown some promise in helping people overcome the drug dependency and addiction issues and to stay out of trouble. But those programs are limited in scope because they're limited in funding. And so what this resolution proposes to do is to bring together all the interested parties, law enforcement, corrections, social services, everybody who deals with this issue in one way or another, to see if we can find maybe better ways of attacking this problem than the ones that we're currently using. It doesn't presuppose an outcome. It just presupposes that we need to get everybody together in the same room at the same time so that we can talk about options and alternatives. Now, I've spoken with the governor and the governor's chief of staff about this. They have no objection to the creation of this task force. I've spoken with the attorney general and his chief deputy. They have no objection. I've spoken with the Chief Justice and with the head of UJS. They have no objection. I've spoken with Department of Corrections, Department of Social Services. They have no objection. I've also met and talked with the Sheriff's Association, the State's Attorneys Association, and the County Commission Association. They are all essentially on board. Now, in fairness, the State's Attorneys Association's representative and I have been working on some potential language tweaks in the whereas language to SCR 7. I've been told by Mr. Bichand, on behalf of the state's attorneys, that I can represent to this committee, we will work that out. There is not anything in there that's an insurmountable problem. It's just a matter of trying to fine-tune the language so that everybody is comfortable. So my request to this committee is that you keep SCR 7 alive. You let this go to the floor for discussion. I think it's a discussion that's worth having. I think it's a discussion that everybody, from the executive branch, the judicial branch, the legislative branch, thinks should happen. So with that, I'll stand by for any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Kennedy. Any additional proponents for SCR 7? Any additional proponents for SCR 7? Are there any opponents for SCR 7? Seeing no opponents, we'll waive rebuttal and move to committee questions on SCR 7. Do we have any questions of the committee? And we will close public testimony and move to committee discussion and or action on SCR 7. Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move do pass.
Second. We have a motion by Senator Greenfield, seconded by Senator Maher for do pass on SCR 7. Any comments on that motion, Senator Greenfield?
And I'm not sure if that's the appropriate motion. Maybe it's to adopt.
Do adopt.
But
thank you.
I do have some comments, and you will note that an amendment just got passed out for the next bill on the agenda. One way or another, I think we need to keep this conversation alive. Because we had a discussion earlier in session about Senate Concurrent Resolution 2 and the functionality of putting a task force into place or directing the executive board to put a task force into place, I was aware of what that entailed. This directs the executive board to put in place this task force, but it calls for only six legislators, three senators, three House members, and then some other people. And normally, by virtue of an executive board task force or summer study, we don't include other people from the executive branch. I mean, we call them to the table, but they don't sit around the table on the committee. Therein rested my concern, and so I want to see us just have both vehicles available, that as we determine how things come out in the wash, that we have something functional. I don't want to see us send SCR 7 over to the House only to then find out that no, we can't do that. This morning I sought clarification. The answer was, well, I don't think there's anything that would preclude you from doing this. Yes, when the executive board appoints members, they only appoint members of the legislature, but because they would draw their authority from an action of the legislature, maybe you can. I'm not willing to hang my hat on maybe, so I want to see us keep both measures alive, because I think that the senator, and I do thank Senator Kennedy for his work on this, I think he's brought forth something that does bear further discussion. And as he's testified to, the fact that the interested parties, although some have divergent opinions, they say there's nothing wrong with carrying on and studying this and seeing if we can come up with a better road forward. So I would encourage your support of this measure and the Hog House to Senate Bill 167 in a few minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Greenfield. We have a motion moved by Senator Greenfield, seconded by Senator Maher, to do adopt SCR-7. Any additional comments on that motion? Seeing none, it is a do adopt motion for SCR-7. Those in favor will say aye. Opposed will say no. Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Nassiba?
Aye.
White?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Partridge?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Colbeck?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Cronin?
Excused.
Excused. Wick?
Aye.
8 yeas and 1 excused.
With a positive vote of 8-0, SCR-7 is so adopted. Next item. Senate Bill 167. You can sit where you'd like. That's all right. Senate Bill 167. Senate Bill 167, an act to revise provisions regarding public safety. Looking for proponents for Senate Bill 167. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Senator Jeff Partridge, District 34, proponent for Senate Bill 167. Senate Bill 167 is exactly the same conversation that we just have been having regarding SCR 7. Did I get that right? Yeah. This makes it in statute and makes it more than a resolution. Resolutions are generally used for rules. Concurrent resolutions are generally used to make or amend the rules that apply to both chambers. This obviously is a little bit different than a rule, and if we decide that this is the mechanism going forward, it would most likely be determined that the statute would be potentially the better vehicle. I heard the need to have the governor on board. I might make the pitch that the statute, with her signing it, does that versus the resolution. So it would enhance the potential for the governor's office and the executive branch to be engaged in this conversation. And I think having the governor on board for signing this 167 does that. In addition, then it compels the all three branches, as we've discussed. We definitely want everyone involved in this conversation. Has to be. UJS has got to take a very active role in what we're talking about here. So getting everyone around the table, the statute does that. In addition, the appropriation of funds would be something that would be statutorial regarding our suspending the money that is in this currently right now, which is $21,000. So I would ask for your favorable consideration of Senate Bill 167 as a statute, and ask for you to pass that. And also, I've got an amendment at the table, which might be appropriate at this time.
Thank you, Senator Partridge. We have a motion to amend. Would you so move that right now, Senator Partridge? Senator Greenfield, you distributed the amendment. Would you wish to move that at this time?
I would move 167WA.
We have 167 Whiskey Alpha, the amendment for Senate Bill 167. Greenfield moved. Nessaba seconded. Senate Bill 167 with 167 Whiskey Alpha. Comments on that motion? Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess if anybody's tuning in now, this relates to Senate Concurrent Resolution 7. If down the road somebody's searching through our archives and wondering how this came about, and if this is in fact the vehicle that we choose to move forward with, I would note that I made comments relative to Senate Concurrent Resolution 7 as to why we would want to keep both measures alive. And so with that, I think that Senator Partridge has done a fine job of pitching the bill and giving the rationale for it. So I'd encourage your support of the amendment and then the bill.
All right, we have a motion by Senator Greenfield, seconded by Senator Nessaba, to amend Senate Bill 167. This is a hog house with Senate Bill 167, Whiskey Alpha. It has been distributed. Any additional comments on that motion to amend, Senator Nessaba?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, really a question for Senator Greenfield, and really just for the record, is there any substantial difference between SCR 7 and 167WA?
There, thank you for the question, Mr. Chair.
Yes, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In function, there's not supposed to be. If there was an issue created in drafting, I'll stand corrected, but no. The intention was to uphold the very nature of the concurrent resolution, but just to bring it in a bill form so it strikes the whereas, or doesn't strike, but there are no whereases or now therefore it be resolved in this. Thank you.
Same idea, fewer whereases. With Senate Bill 167, any additional proponents to the Hog House Bill, Senate Bill 167, let's move the amendment first. All those in favor of the amendment, 167 Whiskey Alpha, moved by Senator Greenfield, seconded by Senator Nessaba, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. 167 is so amended. Any additional proponents to Senate Bill 167 as amended? Senator Partridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the amendment does the exact thing that we're trying to accomplish here today, and I would encourage the committee's favorable consideration of 167 as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Any additional proponent testimony on Senate Bill 167 as amended? Senator Kennedy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Craig Kennedy, District 18, Yankton. I just want to confirm to the committee that I've looked at this proposed bill and amendment 167WA. I believe it does do exactly what's been represented, and I want to thank the members that have been working on this in helping to move this matter forward. I think both bills deserve to live.
Thank you, Senator. Any additional proponents on Senate Bill 167 as amended? Are there any opponents to Senate Bill 167 as amended? Seeing no opponents, we'll waive rebuttal, and we will close public testimony on Senate Bill 167 as amended, move to committee discussion and or action on Senate Bill 167 as amended. Senator Greenfield. Senator Kolbeck.
Mr. Chair, I recommend a due pass on Senate Bill 167.
We have a due pass motion for Senate Bill 167 as amended. Due pass motion made by Senator Kolbeck, seconded by Senator White. Comments on that motion, Senator Kolbeck?
I like the idea of SB 167 being amended to put this in statute if necessary and get the governor's approval on this here to keep moving this forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Any additional comments on the due pass motion for Senate Bill 167 as amended? Seeing none. We have a due pass motion made by Senator Kolbeck, seconded by Senator White. Due pass, Senate Bill 167 is amended. Madam Secretary, we will have, all those in favor will say aye, opposed will say no. Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Nessaba.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Partridge.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Kolbeck.
Aye.
Greenfield. Cronin's excused. Wick?
Aye.
We have 8 yeas and 1 excused.
With a positive vote of 8-0, Senate Bill 167 moves to the floor with a due pass motion.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair.
Senator Partridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have a title amendment. It is 167 WTA Whiskey Tango Alpha, 167 WTA.
We have a title amendment made by Senator Partridge. Is there a second? Seconded by Senator Nessaba to amend the title of Senate Bill 167 with 167 Whiskey Tango Alpha. Any additional comments on that motion? Seeing none.
All those in favor of amending the title of Senate Bill 167 with 167 Whiskey Tango Alpha, moved by Senator Partridge, seconded by Senator Nesiba. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. The bill, the title is so amended. That brings us to the end of our calendar and to the end of our bill log so far. Senator Kohlbeck.
Mr. Chair, could I have a personal privilege?
Personal privilege granted.
There's a young lady sitting in the back room, and her name is Bethany, and she's from the city of Sioux Falls, and she came up just to watch the process. We attended some events last night, and we had a great time at the events. She went home. Her boyfriend surprised her. She came back to the Capitol with him and got engaged on the Capitol steps last night at about 9:30. Oh. Bethany, could you stand up, please? Thank you.
Congratulations. Thank you, Senator Kohlbeck. Any additional motions or personal privileges? Seeing none, I'll accept a motion.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Partridge moves to adjourn, seconded by Senator Kohlbeck. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. We are adjourned.